Well, Shakespeare. Okay, he was born in England, right? And he came from a very artistic family, I think. In fact, I think it was his older brother who taught him to read at a very early age.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What was his oldest brother's name again?
Shakespeare.
No, 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 I mean his first name.
That was his first name, right? His name was Shakespeare.
Really?
Yeah, what? Yeah. It's, and he was, Shakespeare was a very well-known minstrel in Stratford. That was Shakespeare's oldest brother. And his second oldest brother was a jazz musician, I think.
Wait a minute, a jazz musician? That doesn't
make
sense.
Yeah, he improvised on the zither, and his name was Moody Shakespeare. Moody was a big influence on William Shakespeare, and Moody was the first one who taught Shakespeare to wear his hair long, and then later, and this is a little known fact, when Shakespeare went bald on top, he always wore a hat, and his nickname was The Hat.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 184, Shakespeare Fun Facts.
It's audio footnote time.
The Bard's patron, King James of England, was seeking to unite England and Scotland at the same time that Shakespeare was writing King Lear. That Shakespeare chose to show a divided kingdom in King Lear leading to tragedy confirms Shakespeare as either a significant social and political commentator or possibly as simply a royal ass-kisser.
That was audio for no time.
So our friend Jamie from the New Victory Theater tweeted me this link to an article in the London Times about 20 things you never knew about Shakespeare. And it's an interesting list, and I'll put a link to it on the podcast page. But I guess Simon Callow is about to tour a one man show, Shakespeare the Man from Stratford.
Oh gosh, I'm gonna miss that.
I like Simon Callow.
He likes himself quite a bit.
He does. Yeah. He's his own largest fan.
Yeah, he's the guy from X Factor, right? American Greatest Idol, that sort of thing.
American Idol. He's the really tough English judge.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, he's great. I'd love to see him do it.
But it's just it's a list, and again, it's true to the tradition of Shakespearean scholarship. All the answers in this really lovely Times article is they're all made up. Nobody knows.
Well, the only thing, I think we know a couple of facts about Shakespeare, when he was born and where he's buried in Stratford.
We actually only know when he was baptized. We don't.
Well, that's true.
We assume he was born 3 days before he was baptized.
Well, and he married this woman who was much, much younger than he is, because Anne Hathaway is still alive and doing movies.
Absolutely.
Mean, Princess Diary, she was awesome in that.
And he left to his bride, Anne Hathaway, he left his second best bed. Now, who got his first best bed? This is what we don't. This is what history does not record. Who got Shakespeare's best bed?
Reed Martin, professional impressionist. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You got it.
I got the bed.
What's it like?
It's not that great, so I don't want to know what the second one is. The second one must be crap.
and the bed bugs must be biting. Well, here's an interesting fact that I learned from a very strange person I had a chat with in the audience in Miami when we did this at the Adrian R. Center back in 2008. This woman from Argentina told me that in Argentina, she said he's known as Shakespeare.
Ooh.
And I thought, from now on, he is William Shakespeare. That just sounds so better than Shakespeare, right?
You know, as a matter of fact, I would like you guys to call me Reed Shakespeare from now on.
Shakespeare.
The former Reed Martini?
Yes. Gracias. Muchas gracias.
Well, and the French, of course, refer to him as Jacques Pierre. So we thought, if all these guys are making up their own fun facts about Shakespeare, then we should totally make up some of our own fun facts.
But just how active were teenagers in the 1600s? Here's what a few Elizabethan teens had to say.
You know, back when I was a teenager, people weren't as open about sex as they are today. Other than Catholic priests, nobody had sex outside of marriage, or if they did, they sure didn't talk about it.
As young ladies, we were certainly concerned about our reputations, but we were also concerned about disease and birth control. The only contraceptive pill we had was an aspirin held between our knees. That's a little joke. You have to visualize it.
Back in the old days, the young men used to have what we called contraception stones. You see, you just took a little rock, you put it in your shoe, and it made you limp. I called mine Geronimo.
Act 4 of Richard III, in which Richard kills babies.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to the graphic nature of the upcoming scene, we suggest that individuals who are squeamish or easily offended turn off their volume for the next 15 seconds of this program. I'm sorry, please forgive this interruption. I just wanted to point out that this is one of several instances in which Shakespeare gets history right. It is a well-documented fact that the princes were slain with a gas-powered chainsaw with an 18-inch revolving auger blade and six-cylinder bicarbonated engine. Thank you.
What are some of the key dates in Shakespeare's life? These are the things we kind of actually know.
Yeah, now that's a good question, because, of course, obviously, 1563, Shakespeare was just a mere glint in his mother's eye. We know
a twinkle in his father's underpants, as I like to say.
Yes. But let's see. Okay, for instance, 1580, the Bankside was deemed naughty by royal proclamation.
Really?
Yeah, it was a slow year that year.
We must proclaim something. I know. Let's proclaim Bankside naughty.
Naughty.
I think I saw Simon Callow make that proclamation in Shakespeare in Love.
I think you did.
Let's see. Now, according to legend, in 1588, Shakespeare takes up a job parking cars at a London playhouse and in his spare time fights crime dressed as Kick-Ass.
Wow, it's true.
Wow, that's very. So Shakespeare was dressed as a 13-year-old fictional superhero.
Yeah.
Simon Callow doesn't know this.
Well, and they say, why is Shakespeare so popular still today? He was so far ahead of his time.
Absolutely.
Way ahead of his time, yeah. And it just goes to show that Kick-Ass isn't modern trash pop culture. It's actually got some literary depth.
Sure.
It's timeless. Now, did you know this, Reed Martin, Austin Titcher? Did you know in 1599, the new Burbage Theater is reopened as the Globe?
Yes, we know that. Sure. Yeah. Everybody
know that?
Knows that.
Course,
I think everybody knows that.
Well, but see, what you might not have known is they toyed with calling it the Dome, but instead went with the Globe in honor of Shakespeare's favorite basketball team, the Harlem Globetrotters.
Now, that I did not know.
Well, then he wrote the play about the original owner of the Harlem Globetrotters, the Merchant of Venice.
That's right.
Oh, Abe Saperstein.
Yeah, Abe Saperstein.
Yes, I see.
Yeah. 1600, Hamlet opens at the Globe with Curly Neal in the title role.
If I'm not mistaken, Meadowlark Lemon as Ophelia.
Yes. When are you going to do your one-man show, by the way, about Curly Neal? Reed Martin, you'd be very good at that part.
No, different Curly, sorry.
And there's many interesting facts in this book, little sidebars. This one is called What's a Groundling?
Yes, good question. What's a groundling, Reed?
Glad you asked, Austin. In Shakespeare's time, the common folk who couldn't afford to pay for a seat bought standing room tickets down near the stage. They were called groundlings after the type of fish that lives on the bottom of lakes and streams. The actors on stage saw the audience staring up at them, wide-eyed and open-mouthed, from the ground, and were amused by the similarity. The name stuck. Interestingly, rich people who could afford tickets bought seats in the half ring above of seating above. These people were called ringlings and were so inspired by the work of Shakespeare, they later moved to America and started a circus.
Yeah.
Now, throughout the book, we have essay questions talking about Shakespeare's early life. One of the essay questions is, in 1552, William Shakespeare's father, John Shakespeare, was fined for maintaining a dunghill in the middle of Henley Street in Stratford. Describe how Shakespeare paid tribute to his father by writing the steaming pile of crap called Coriolanus.
Hello, this is Eleanor, and I'll be coming to a city near you at any time. Just close your eyes and whisper to yourself, "Where's Eleanor? She's right next to you, crawling up your spine. Or is that a bug?" I will be at the London South Bank Otterbally from the 18th of June to the 20th of June. Hello, bus boys. And I will be performing at the Latitude Festival in July. Hello, hippie dippies. And the last 10 days at the Edinburgh Festival. I'll be there all week, though, living inside a skip. And you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Adios.
Where can you see the RSC? We have one more weekend of performances of Shakespeare Abridged Revised at San Diego Repertory Theater in San Diego, California. And then we open a three-week run of Completely Hollywood Abridged at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. from June 22nd to July 11th. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for specific venue and ticket information. And if any podcast listeners are members of the Theater Communications Group, we'll see you at the TCG Conference in Chicago this June 17th, 18th, and 19th.
So then, Adam, do you accept the theory put forth by Freud's disciple Ernest Jones that 300 years before modern psychiatry, Shakespeare wrote Hamlet as a dramatization of man's Oedipal complex?
Oh, absolutely, Austin, totally. The whole play is Hamlet's Oedipal nightmare.
Really?
Yeah, just look at all the food references.
Well, wait a minute.
I got this computer to spit out all the references to food in Shakespeare's work, and most of them are from Hamlet. You can see there's a heavy food influence.
How does this expand our knowledge of Hamlet?
Like this, smart guy. In Hamlet's famous speech, does he say, oh, that this tutu solid flesh or O22 sullied flesh?
Well, no one knows. It's unclear in the original folio.
Well, if you examine the text from the point of view of food, it becomes quite clear. Hamlet is saying, oh, that this tutu salad fresh.
My God, Adam, I think you have a point.
Oh, does it show?
Yeah, just a little. Pull your hat down.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. No, I think you're right, though. It all becomes clear.
Thank you.
And that must be what something is rotten in the state of Denmark refers to.
Exactly. And I've learned that Shakespeare was using Hamlet to send subliminal messages.
Really?
Yes. Listen to this tape of the Rogan peasant slave speech.
Okay.
Oh, what a rogue and peasant slave am I. Is it not monstrous that this player here, but in a fiction, in a dream of passion, could force his soul so to his whole conceit that from her working all his visage wand, tears in his eyes, distraction in his aspect, a broken voice in his whole function suiting with forms to his conceit, and all for nothing, for Hecuba? What's Hecuba to him, or he to Hecuba, that he should weep for her?
Well, that sounds innocent enough to me.
Yeah, but now listen to it backwards. Rick, roll the tape.
Creamy and delicious.
Did you hear it?
That's shocking, Adam, I confess.
Oh, yeah, completely... it gives me the shingles.
Well, do you want to tell us anything else about Hamlet?
Well, it's not kosher.
Not kosher? What do you mean by that?
Well, presumably because of the ham in Hamlet.
Oh, right, okay. That's
exactly.
True.
And what's the first thing Hamlet says when he sees the ghost of his father? He says, I shall think meat. Boom! There's your smoking gun, my friend. The play is about food.
Back in, when was this, 2000?
2000.
Matt Rippey, for our former UK producers, our former London producers, blessed and nameless be their names, put together a complete guide to London Abridged. This was this little handout that you wrote.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it was the best job ever, because I was told my remit was, you've got 2 weeks to put together the Reduced Shakespeare Company Complete Guide to London Abridged. So if you only had a day or a weekend to see places of interest that have anything to do with Shakespeare, go to them, write about them. Most of them were pubs called the Shakespeare.
The research was exhausting.
Yeah, I hate that kind of research.
It was exhausting. But I found some interesting facts that I never knew before, and perhaps you didn't know either. Like, for instance, okay, down on the South Bank, Aldermanbury Street, Church of St. Mary the Virgin. See, now here are buried the editors of the first folio. Did you know this, Reed and Austin? First folio of Shakespeare's plays. His fellow actors and general cohorts and crime are buried there, John Heminge and Henry Condell. Now, if you're into busts, And
who isn't?
Yes. Who isn't? Then go to the churchyard there at the Church of St. Mary, because there's a monument, famous monument, bearing a bust of Shakespeare.
See, I should have read this. I never knew that. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, okay. You should see it. He's
all right.
He's,
so the Church of St. Mary the Virgin on Aldermanbury Street, wherever the heck that is.
Yeah, yeah. You can Google map it.
All right, yeah.
Let's see. What else we got? We got some interesting things here. Gray's Inn. Yeah, north of the river. You got a Comedy of Errors, essentially, mm-hmm. premiered in the Gray's Inn Hall in 1594. Now, incidentally, this is Shakespeare's shortest play, which is fascinating to you, I'm sure, coming in at only 1,700 lines, approximately. But we of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, however, have managed to get it down to only 4 lines.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at that, it's 1 line too long.
Right. Well, you know, that's funny because I thought, wait a second, the Scottish play is Shakespeare's shortest play, but the Scottish play is Shakespeare's shortest tragedy.
Correct.
That is the correct. That is the distinction. Yes,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, what's the old Cheshire cheese?
The old Cheshire cheese.
On Fleet Street. I've been in this pub. I took a pub crawl. Yes, as I've been in here.
This was supposedly, apparently, the old Cheshire cheese was a favorite watering hole for Billy Shakespeare and Ben Jonson.
Ooh, now, Academy Award winning actor.
Yeah, of course. You know.
And the shamed Canadian sprinter.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give a nice round warm of applause to the beautiful Miss Helena Bonham Carter. Welcome to the program, Miss Carter.
Well, thank you very much, Austin. And please, just call me Helena Bonham.
Thank you, Helena Bonham. I'm sure our audience would like to know when you first became interested in Shakespeare.
Well, I think that would be even as a little girl, because my mommy would tell me Shakespearean bedtime stories.
Shakespearean bedtime stories, really?
Yeah, well, she'd tell me Macbeth.
Macbeth? Your mother told you Macbeth as a bedtime story?
Oh, yeah, and I loved it. All that stuff about poison entrails and out damn spot. Who would have thought the old man had so much blood in him? I loved stuff like that.
When did you decide that you were going to be an actress?
That would be when I saw Barbara Streisand in A Star Is Born.
That inspired you, did it?
Well, I sure liked what she wore.
Now, Helena Bonham, I have to say that you look much different in person than you do on the screen.
That would be correct.
On screen, we generally see you in period costumes, and mm-hmm. you appear to be a petite young woman with auburn hair. Mm. That's not at all how you come across here in the studio. Would you mind describing yourself to the people at home?
Of course. Well, I'm wearing spiked heels and black leather. I'm 6'2" tall, and I'm completely bald.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. That's because Helena Bonham is not actually Helena Bonham Carter, but our own Reed Martin professional impressionist.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I thought something was weird.
Well, Reed, you sure took everybody in.
Thank you. I know I definitely took an Adam because he was feeling my thigh under the table.
I wasn't feeling your thigh.
You were.
No, I wasn't, man. Besides, I knew you weren't Helena Bonham Carter. I was just playing along.
And I'm grateful for it.
Oh, 1603, yes. Well, Queen Elizabeth dies.
Right.
Now, Liz the First, that is. The Second is alive and well and going for the record for the longest reign with the same hairdo, which is actually previously held by Queen Victoria at 63 years.
Yes. Very good. That's a record, again, you could go for.
That's right. I'm
not a reigning monarch, but still.
Well, in my own mind. Yeah.
You're a queen in your own mind.
Yes.
I love you. I love the list that you came up with, the top 10 list of things to do in London. The 10th best thing to do in London... Q!
Yes. And few people know that it's actually spelled Q-U-E-U-E, which is as redundant as queuing is in England.
The English love their U's. They put U's in every word, and in some words they put more than one.
Honor, humor, Q-U,
butter. No, wait.
Now, here's some interesting things that, okay, I mean, I think... Maybe with trivia about Shakespeare, are we allowed to throw in some trivia about the Reduced Shakespeare Company?
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Absolutely.
Well, because, I mean, maybe you knew this, maybe you didn't, that the Reduced Shakespeare Company, if you rearrange the letters of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, you get, hey, a demented sucker approaches. Try it.
I couldn't say it better myself.
Yes. I think that's the biggest fun fact you need to know about the Reduced Shakespeare
right.
Company, completely.
Yeah, and that during the course of the past however many dozen, two dozen decades, 192 plastic swords have been used to administer over 32,000 mostly hammy deaths on various stages across this world hosting the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Now, I know for a fact that that's a made-up fact.
We'll be right back.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. You heard excerpts from the Reduced Shakespeare radio show, available from Amazon and from iTunes, and our appearance at the Los Angeles Times Festival of Books. Send us your Shakespeare fun facts via email to feedback@ReducedShakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com, and our Reduced Shakespeare Company fan page at Facebook.com. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at Twitter.com/Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey. Music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to the Scrawny Shakespeare Society of Northwood Middle School in Conway, Arkansas. No reason. It's just random. Sort of. Thanks to Matt Rippey and Reed Martin for squandering their intermission last weekend. Special thanks to Eleanor the Tour Whore from The Mighty Boosh. Eleanor put the wood in Woodstock, and she's appearing in London this weekend and Edinburgh this August. Check out her dates at richfulcher.com. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 184, 550 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
A little rhythm is all it takes. Friends, Romans, countrymen, I've heard they rap, rap, and rap again. William Shakespeare sucks, don't be silly. All you gotta do is just rap your willy. Rap it.
A horse, my kingdom for a horse, that's a hunchback rapping.
Ha, of course.
If all the world is indeed a stage, you can tell your King John to bend over my page. Kenneth Branagh,
rap your willy.
Mel Gibson,
rap your willy.
If you got one.
If we rappers have offended, think but this and all is mended. When we started rapping here, Shakespeare boredom disappeared. If you think our song is crass, you can kiss my lily white tookers. William Shakespeare.
Hey Adam,
sucks.
Come here a minute. I want to show you something.
What?
This!
Oh! Oh! No! Stop it!
Oh, no, no. It's always funny till Adam gets hurt.
And then it's even funnier.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.